Hey, Robin, today we have our state auditor, Troy Downey, with us. Hello, Troy.
Hey, how you doing? Thanks for having me on, John and Robin. I appreciate it.
Sure. Well, we sure appreciate you being with us here. I know you're a busy guy, so I want to jump right in here. You've got a cease and desist order against multi-level marketing companies. Boy, I don't like these guys either, so tell us about this one that you're really going after.
Well, you know, we've got a few of them, enforcement actions and the cease and desist. And just for your listeners, a little bit of background, you know, multi-level marketing is basically a sales program where you sell some product and then you find other people in your network that also sell that product and you get a piece of what they sell and then they do the same thing. And so it creates this network of you can make, you know, larger, well, potentially, that's the promise at least, making more money because you have a larger and larger network that you're getting little pieces of. The problem with a lot of these is, first of all, there's a number of them that are not following the rules in Montana, because there are cases where it is a legitimate business, and we have in state statute a requirement that they register with this office. And so when we find one that's operating in Montana that has not registered, then we do enforcement actions to make sure that they do get registered with this office, so we understand, you know, who's out there and who's doing what. But here's the bigger problem, and this is kind of the more interesting part, is there can be similarities between an MLM or a multi-level marketing program and a pyramid scheme. And sometimes they cross that boundary, and the easiest way to understand when that boundary is crossed is when the product being sold is not what's really making the money, and you're basically putting money in there in other fees or other things that starts to trickle down or up that pyramid, depending on which way you're looking at it. And the deal with pyramid schemes is those are illegal, and it entices a lot of people to get into it, because it's this promise that if you can start to build a bigger and bigger network, they all start, you know, sending checks up that chain and you make money. But what a lot of people don't realize is that if you're not on the top of that pyramid, if you're not one of the founders of that, you're very likely to lose all of your money and very unlikely to make anything back. The statistics are there's a small single-digit percentage of people that actually make money in those schemes, and in the high 90s, say 97-98% of them lose all of their money. And those are illegal in Montana, and those are, you know, those do require us to take action, and you know, and filing a cease and desist is one of those actions to make sure that they're not taking advantage of people that may not understand that really, you know, as we say in this office, you know, very often, if it sounds too good to be true, it's probably not true. And anybody that's making money in a pyramid scheme are the founders, and everybody else is losing.
So how do we spot one of these critters?
Well, the easiest way on any of this is if you get involved in a program that requires you to get your friends to also be part of that program and get your friends' friends to also be part of that program, if you have something that has a requirement of doing that, that should be your first indication. And so, you know, that's your indication of it being a multi-level marketing program. If it crosses that threshold to being a pyramid scheme, then look and see if there are any kind of, you know, exorbitant fees that you have to pay to get into it, and if that fee is going up the chain in that pyramid. If you're making more money out of people putting fees into the program than actually selling product, it's probably a pyramid scheme. And if that's the case, you know, give our office a call and talk to us about it. You know, we're at 444-2040. You know, let us know, because it may be a company that we're aware of, it may be one we're unaware of, and we'll absolutely look into it. And if it rises to the level that it needs to be dealt with, we will investigate and, you know, potentially, you know, prosecute if it, like I said, if it rises to that level.
Okay, now is the initial contact on these likely to come through email or the internet?
Well, it can actually, in the modern era, you know, I think everybody communicates on the internet. Things come through social media. They come through all these different ways of doing that. But really, however they get to you. I mean, it could be a neighbor calling you, and it's not that that neighbor is a bad person. They may be a victim of this pyramid scheme as well, and just not understand, you know, the actual, you know, financials involved here. But the dead giveaway is if you're getting into a program where you're required to bring people in, and then you require them to bring more people in. That's your first indication, whether it's coming from, you know, a Facebook post or a, you know, a phone call, or, you know, a neighbor inviting you over to meet other people that are interested in it. And again, I want to emphasize that there are multi-level marketing groups that do actually provide, you know, goods and services and materials that are legitimate, and their requirement is that they register with the states. But the real differentiator is if you're making money from people paying dues into that and not from actually selling some tangible product.
Oh. What about this insurance after the fact thing?
You know, insurance after the fact, you know, that's something that we've been really putting a lot of focus on. And it's easy to understand, you know, what's going on here. You have somebody that has an incident, you know, say they, you know, wreck their car, or they run into a deer or whatever it is, and they're uninsured. And what they will do is they will then go and purchase insurance after the accident, and they'll try to convince the insurance company that the accident happened after the insurance policy came into effect. So essentially it's lying to the insurance company. And, you know, we've seen quite a few instances of these, and we're, like I said, we're starting to prosecute these. And it doesn't take much for this to rise to the level of a felony. You know, if the claim that you're making is above $1,500, then that rises to a felony. And people need to understand that, you know, we are prosecuting these. This is theft. This costs all of us. You know, this is a very expensive thing, you know, nationwide that we pay for in increased premiums. But what's important for people to understand is we've seen all kinds of efforts to thwart the insurance companies. And the insurance companies are smart, and they have resources, and they understand what might rise to the level of being an insurance after the fact case. And so sometimes people, they'll think if they just delay reporting it so that it doesn't look like they, you know, insured it the same day that the accident happened, because that's obviously a red flag. But the insurance companies are good at protecting their interests, and so they will then, rather than paying it, they'll report that to us. We'll investigate. We find that there actually was fraudulent activity. You know, we prosecute. And, you know, it's some what I think is kind of interesting is we see a somewhat of a rise in these instances, because somebody, now that you can do everything from your phone online, we'll see instances where somebody is in an accident. They'll call for, you know, the police or the tow truck or whatever else, and while they're waiting for them to show up, they'll go online and apply for an insurance policy and try to convince the insurance company that they did that moments before the accident rather than, you know, minutes after. And so we see a lot of stuff like that that's obviously easier to spot, but I can't emphasize enough that the insurance companies are out there trying to protect their interests against fraud and protect all of us in increased premium costs. So the chances of getting away with buying insurance after you're in an accident are pretty slim, and people need to understand that, you know, even minor repairs on cars these days, it's easy to get to that $1,500 threshold, and then all of a sudden you're looking at having a felony conviction on your record.
Boy.
And you know, obviously that's a big deal. You know, it's in terms of you know, in terms, you face up to 10 years in prison. You know, it can be $50,000 in fines, and plus the loss of rights that you get because of that felony conviction. It's just not worth it.
Yeah,
well put.
Yeah, well put. Okay, let's talk about this recent insurance summit that was conducted.
Well, yeah, we just had last week. You know, we do an annual insurance summit, bringing in professionals from around the state. You know, there's some from out of the state that'll come as well. And this office didn't host one last year because of the COVID issues. So we just had ours over at the Delta Hotel in Helena last Monday, and just had an incredible response. You know, there were almost 300 attendees, and that was, you know, after a bunch of cancellations because of, you know, COVID fears. Some companies didn't send their folks out there. But this was an opportunity for us to get our team out there and talk about issues that are driving costs, that are driving insurance losses, really just helping people get together and have conversations about new legislation that's going to affect them, that's just coming into play, how to deal with, you know, the federal No Surprises Act, which is going to be a very meaningful thing that comes into play in January. But, you know, we just had a lot of fun doing this because it was important to me to get as much relevant information out there from as many people as possible. So, you know, our team obviously did a lot of panels and presentations, but we also had Governor Gianforte come in and talk about legislation that he had supported that we brought to the legislature last year about, you know, his pro-business agenda. It was great having the governor speak. I also put together a panel of previous Montana insurance commissioners. I had Commissioner Monica Lindeen there and Commissioner John Morrison, and we did a little commissioner panel that was moderated by Jesse Laslovich, who was Commissioner Lindeen's chief legal counsel, and just had a lot of fun doing it. I think that the audience appreciated it. It was a fun conversation about insurance regulation in Montana. And then to get on to a more national topic, I brought in Commissioner Mulready, who's the Oklahoma insurance commissioner, and talking about things that we do on a national level, because, you know, in the United States, we're a state-based insurance regulatory system, but there are problems that we're all trying to solve together. And one of the big topics that I discussed with Commissioner Mulready is our pharmacy benefit manager bill that we brought last session that we're, you know, in the middle of implementing right now, and how that's going to affect prescription drug prices in Montana. And it was an interesting conversation because there was some similar but different legislation that Oklahoma brought, and so we could talk about what worked and what didn't and what the pitfalls were and what we could expect. And I just thought it was a really fun and educational program, just incredible amount of energy in that audience, and I think we had some really, really good discussions on, you know, consumer protection and on insurance regulation in the state.
Are you going to do more of these?
You know, we're going to do a big part of what I want to do with my tenure here in this office is outreach. And so this particular conference will be an annual event, but we're going to have more targeted outreach programs. You know, one of the things that we're working on in this office is we brought back the Elder Exploitation Council in Eastern Montana, and we're in the process of putting together a North and South Central and a Western Montana Council. It's a multidisciplinary criminal justice agency going after crimes against seniors. And, you know, in my office, you know, our area of expertise is financial exploitation, securities fraud, which we see, you know, quite a bit of, and we have active prosecutions in that area right now. But if it's, you know, different kinds of exploitation, it can be, you know, emotional abuse, physical abuse, all these other things, then we may, you know, rely upon the Department of Justice or, you know, different agencies that have that expertise. So we're out in the field putting these new councils together. We're planning on going out in the field on doing financial fluency education. And another part is we're probably going to go out on some of the, you know, hot topics that are going to affect most Montanans. And, you know, one of those, like I said, was the No Surprises Act, which basically protects all Americans from having surprise billing. So you go to the hospital, you expect the insurance company to pay something, and then you find out from the hospital that they've done something that wasn't covered out of network, and you get this surprise bill. There are protections against that come online in January. We just want to make sure that Montanans understand, you know, how to watch out for that, what it covers, what it doesn't, and because this is going to be a big deal for all of us in combating those balanced billing, you know, surprise bills that we may get.
Okay, well, that's really exciting. Now, as far as constituents, the voters out here, how can they participate electronically? Do you have a calendar online so they know when these are coming up?
Actually, if you go to our website, which is csimt.gov, you can register to get our newsletters. We do a quarterly newsletter on, you know, what we're doing in this agency. There's also email lists that you can go to there. If you follow us, just look for CSI or Commissioner Downing on virtually any social media, and you can also find that from our website. You can track us there because my communications team is really good at getting a message out there of where we're going and what we're doing. So, you know, probably the best starting point is csimt.gov.
All right. This is always a great conversation.
Yeah,
Troy Downing, our state auditor and commissioner of securities and insurance, thanks so much for spending time with us today.
Oh, my pleasure. Anytime. So you guys have a great day, and thanks for the opportunity.